episode of Just Add Sprinkles Celebrating Motherhood is brought to you by Freshwave, happy, healthy, odor-free. Not-so-nice smells are a not-so-wonderful fact of life, but Freshwave can take care of that. More in a bit, and make sure to stay tuned for a special discount code.
Go ahead, shake that jar of sprinkles and celebrate your role as a mom. I'm Stephanie Fleece with City Moms Blog Network, and my hope is the next 40 minutes or so bring a smile to your face, a skip to your step, and a sprinkle or two to your mundane. This is Just Add Sprinkles, Celebrating Motherhood, a podcast by City Moms Blog Network. On behalf of the millions of moms who read, contribute, and own our network of sister sites, welcome to the very first episode of our brand new podcast, Just Add Sprinkles, Celebrating Motherhood. We are so excited to be launching this podcast for a number of reasons. First, because we love to be able to encourage moms. We love to be able to provide a positive voice to motherhood internationally. And every single person who is a part of this podcast is a mom and can relate to all of the struggles, the pain, the joy, the blessing, the frustration at times that come with this motherhood journey. And so our hope is that this podcast is a safe place for you to come, a place for you to come to find encouragement, a place for you to come to find other moms that you can relate to in this motherhood journey. We want you to know you are not alone. We see you. We see everything that you are doing for your kids and for your community, and that is important. And so we're thrilled to be able to bring the Just Add Sprinkles Celebrating Motherhood podcast to you. On this episode, we're talking about many of our tendencies as moms to apologize for anything and everything. We're talking about apologizing for the way that we look, the way that we act, the way that our kids look, the way that our kids act, what our parenting style may or may not look like to somebody on the outside. We apologize for our homes, whether they're clean, big enough, tidy enough, decor enough, whatever you might say. But we're constantly apologizing. And so we're going to talk about a post that resonated with so many readers across this country, written by one of our very own writers, Danielle Kleiner of Twin Cities Moms Blog. And we'll finish up with a discount offer from our sponsor, Freshwave. With all of that, I'm so excited to get started. So the first thing I want to do is to be able to tell you a little bit about our guest and today's podcast. Danielle Kleiner is a fellow Minneapolis-St. Paul area mom, and she is a writer for our Twin Cities Moms Blog site. She's a mom of a sweet little spunky girl, Emerson, who's four, has been married for around 6 years, and she truly is a delight to those who know her. I know you'll be inspired by her motherhood journey. As you'll learn, Danielle has had quite the highs and lows in her motherhood journey. She suffered from a miscarriage, has been struggling with secondary infertility for a number of years, and is now going through the adoption process. There are so many parts of her story that I know many of you can relate to, but might I add, if you can't personally relate to all of the facets of her story, I'm nearly confident that you have someone in your life that can relate to those things. And so I'm so thankful that Danielle was able to share her story, and I truly hope that it will be encouragement to all of you listening today. Hi, Danielle.
Hey, hey!
How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm loving the fall weather. I've got like my cozy cup of tea and I'm just like super, I'm in my happy place right now.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's one of the first things I was going to ask. I was going to say, okay, you're in Minneapolis. Tell me like what your life looks like.
Today, I'm just rejoicing because I've been home with a sick child for a week, which we all know how that goes. And yes. So I'm happy today to be back into a routine where my daughter goes to grandma's house a couple days a week and goes to school a couple days a week. And that's kind of when I get my work in. Otherwise, doing my mom thing, running between errands and all of her activities and all kinds of fun in between.
You have one daughter. How old is she? And tell us a little bit about her.
Yes. So we have a four-year-old daughter, Emerson, and she is just like our spicy little firecracker. She is like the life of the party everywhere she goes. I don't know where she got that from. I think she may have got it from me. but she is just like our little bundle of joy, and we just have so much fun with her.
And tell me about your husband and how long you've been married and just a little bit more about your family dynamics.
My husband is Ethan, and we have been married just about 6.5 years now. And we've been together since we were in high school, which is kind of fun. So I tease him all the time that I'm like, I actually don't remember life without you in it. I really don't. And so that's just a fun little tidbit of our story. But yeah, and we got married really young. We were married at 20. And so that was just, you know, something in my life that I never expected. I never expected I would be getting married while I was in college. And then you know, my daughter was born when I was 22, so I was a mom also very young, something again that I did not expect in my life. So just in those two areas of my life, just, you know, life kind of took me by surprise there, which is kind of fun.
I know many of our listeners can resonate to many parts of your story, certainly being married young and having kids young. But tell everybody a little bit more just about your motherhood journey, even starting from, you know, when Emerson was born and how that adjustment has been, and then through today, especially kind of touching on some of the challenges you've had.
Sure. So my husband and I got married when we were really young, and my husband actually was in the military. So we had the opportunity to live overseas for a little while, which was a huge adventure for us, and had so much fun living in Germany, actually. And when we were over there, we were not trying to get pregnant, and, you know, just found out kind of in a crazy way that we were expecting, and that just really, really threw us. We were not trying to get pregnant. We were not planning on having a baby right away. And, you know, of course we're thrilled, but it just kind of threw a wrench into our plans. And so I came home from Europe and had a couple appointments, and I actually found out that I had miscarried our first pregnancy. And so that was prior to the birth of our daughter. And, you know, at that time I was 21. Doctor thought nothing of it, you know, and for me, of course, I was devastated, because it was so early on. I almost felt like I was pregnant and then it was just gone suddenly. Which, you know, anybody who's had a miscarriage at any point can understand that feeling of it's just the, you go from joy to extreme sorrow like that. And it's just really hard to process. So, you know, doctor thought nothing of it. You're young, you know, I'm sure you try again. This happens to, you know, they say 1 in 4 women, super common. So we thought nothing of it. And we ended up getting pregnant again right away after that, actually, like within like 6 weeks even. So we were so grateful to be able to get pregnant again so quickly, and had a completely normal pregnancy with my daughter, and carried her all the way to a whopping 42 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Oh girl, you should see the pictures. I'm like unrecognizable. I'm like so giant, so giant. And you know, had her, and just, you know, it was just such a joyful time. And we really just never thought that we would encounter anything difficult again. With pregnancies, we were just really optimistic after having her. And you know, she, once she got to be about 18 months old, we thought, okay, you know, we're kind of ready to start trying for number two. So, you know, having gotten pregnant super quickly the first two times, we just, you know, you don't even think about it. You're like, okay, yep, we're going to try. This is when I'm going to be due. This is the season we're going to have our baby. You know, you just start thinking about all those logistical things. And so, you know, we try the first month and nothing happens. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. You know, maybe I, you know, maybe we didn't plan something right. Like next, you know, next month, surely something's going to happen. And again, you know, it just didn't happen the second month and the third month and, you know, 6 months. And you start to really think about, okay, like how come it was so easy the first two times and now suddenly we're having these challenges? And so the doctor was really hesitant to diagnose me with anything and was very, very, you know, trying to instill a lot of hope into me that, you know, some people it just takes longer to get pregnant. Like 6 to 12 months, he told me, can be perfectly fine. And so we went through trying for a year. And finally, I just told my husband, I'm like, I know, like in my gut that something is wrong. I just have this feeling that something is really wrong. And so we went through a whole bunch of tests. And even to this day now, and we've been trying now almost 3 years to get pregnant a second time and still just don't have a lot of clear answers. But, you know, just walking through that and, you know, miscarriage prior to that, and then now secondary infertility, which, you know, is something that I didn't even know that existed. Like, I didn't even know secondary infertility was a thing. And just walking through those two things has just really changed my lens on motherhood. Like I mean, of course we all are deeply grateful for our children, but I just have this now that I have Emerson and who I didn't even know was my miracle baby. You know, I just have a whole different outlook on her and, on pregnancy and on babies in general, really. So that's just a little bit of the hard that we have walked through.
Well, I feel like your story is so unique, as I'm sure you agree, in that you have areas of motherhood that you can relate to so many people on. You know, I mean, the fact that you miscarried early on, and that you carried a baby to full term and past full term, actually.
Yeah.
And delivered, you know, a very healthy baby, to then also going through years at this point of infertility. And I have to just say, especially because I've met Danielle personally, that I just am inspired by you, because you've got to be one of the most joyful people that I have ever met. There's not many occasions that I don't see a smile on your face when I see you in person.
Aww.
And the fact that, you know, you have carried a significant load for a while, especially just in your own family and in your own life, it's really admirable, that, you know, that joy really exudes from you regardless of the pain. So that's really amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so, so sweet of you.
Oh, gosh, of course. Of course. Well, so now, you know, knowing kind of where you're at to date, I know you have kind of another journey that you're going through based on your infertility struggles. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so something super exciting that we have been embarking on this year is we are now in the process of adopting. So once we got to the beginning of this year, I just really had it in my heart. I'm just like, you know, I cannot spend another year of my life, you know, just dealing with this infertility stuff. And whether that's going to be that we seek treatment, whether that's going to be that we just stop trying and we just, you know, kind of come to terms with the fact that we may only have one child, you know, or we have to consider something else. And adoption for us was something that we always we always deeply had a heart for, even though we maybe didn't plan that that was how we were going to build our family. We always certainly had compassion and care, and you know, we were around a lot of people that had adopted, and they were, you know, their children were a huge part of our lives. And so just seeing them grow up in these adoptive families, we saw the beauty in that. And, you know, it was just one day in the beginning of the year, I just looked at my husband and I said, what do you think about adoption? Like, what do you think that would look like for our family? And he immediately was like, this is something that has been on my heart for a long time. I didn't know how you felt about it. And, you know, so we both just had this, some, you know, like our hearts were aligned, even though we didn't even know it on that. And so, we immediately just started kind of considering, okay, are we going to look into domestic adoption? Are we going to look into international adoption? Which, you know, both are, when you decide you want to adopt and then you have to like choose a path, it's just very overwhelming.
Sure.
And so we just spent like a lot of time thinking about, okay, what do we do? And what is like our end goal with adoption really? And since our daughter was so young at that time, and well, she's still young, but when we had first started talking about it, she was, you know, barely even 3 years old. And we just really decided, okay, we really want to have another newborn baby in our home. We want to experience that. And, you know, we want Emerson to get the experience of being a big sister to a child that's younger than her. And so we just, after a lot of research, figured out that domestic infant adoption would be our best option. And so what that means is we're adopting from within the U.S., and we will be matched with an expecting birth mom. We will be there for the birth of the baby when the baby is born, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, cultivate a relationship with the birth family, which is a really unique, I think that's a really unique aspect of, mm-hmm. of infant, a domestic infant adoption.
Yeah.
So that has just been our journey this past year. We've been an active waiting family since April, so about 6 months now. So we just are waiting for that call one day that we have, you know, an expecting mom that's interested in us. And obviously the waiting is hard, but it has just been a huge source of joy for our family this year, just knowing that that baby is coming, and we're just hopeful that that will happen soon.
I'm just so excited for what's to come for your family. And I'd love for you to share, if you can think of something, perhaps a surprise that you didn't realize about the adoption process or an adoptive family. Can you think of anything?
There's been a lot of surprises.
I'm sure.
Well, certainly the financial aspect is very overwhelming. That's something that, we did not, I mean, we knew that the cost was high. We didn't know how high.
Right.
So that's been something that, you know, just my husband and I, we've been amazingly overwhelmed by the financial support that we've had from friends and from, you know, people that have really just rallied around us to support us in that journey. If you have someone in your life going through that, and even if it's not financial, just we've had people that have offered to have a garage sale for us or a bake sale, or, you know, they say, we want to make these items for you. Like, I have friends that, you know, will knit or crochet hats or scarves, and they want to sell those and give the profit to us. Like, those kind of things have just been a huge blessing to us, and just have been something that I just can't even, I can't even believe that people have rallied around us in that way. And then as far as the process in general, I think it was just surprising to us, the range of time that it can take, because now that we've met people that are also on this journey with us, we have met people that have matched with an expectant birth mom in like 2 or 3 weeks. Or, you know, on the opposite end, you have people that have been waiting 2 or 3 years. And so I think the biggest thing I like to tell people is that you can't set a date on when the baby's going to be home, but just to be there throughout the process, even for us, like 6 months in the scheme of things has been really fast. But there's still days that are hard. So just, you know, always being aware that no matter how much time is passing, that person is still, that's on their every waking thought every day, you know, whether that only was for 2 weeks or has been for 2 years. It's something that is very all consuming in your, you know, just in your thoughts. And so the more you can, you know, ask people that are going through this, the more you can ask them about how's the process going? Like how are you guys navigating that? And how, you know, just being consciously aware of their feelings, I think that's the best thing you can do for somebody that's waiting for their baby to come home.
Yeah, and I would venture to think that much of what you just shared would be the same encouragement you'd give someone that's walking along someone that's struggling with infertility in some ways too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think sometimes we just, when you don't know what to say to somebody, so often people just don't say anything.
Totally.
To your point, I found that anytime someone is willing to come alongside of me and call it like it is, you know, and say, man, yes, I am so sorry that you're going yep. through this and my heart hurts for you, you know, in your pain or in your waiting, you know, what can I do like to help, and open up those conversations. I feel like I'm always so surprised, that, you know, how much more intimate a relationship gets, even when you just ask like, I don't know what to do. Help me to understand what I can do.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for being willing to share your story, because I really do hope that this podcast overall will be an encouragement to moms, but certainly to each individual that's listening, because there's so many parts of your story that are relatable, that people can hear their story kind of through your words. And so I so appreciate that. Now, transitioning a little bit, Danielle wrote a post that's gotten a lot of attention from a lot of our readers, not just in the Twin Cities area, but not over across the United States as a whole. It's called "I Just Don't See It." It's poignant, and I know that y'all can relate to it. And so let's listen to Danielle read her post, and then we'll circle back and talk a little bit about it.
A friend came over for a playdate the other day with her son and newborn baby. The first thing she said when she walked in the door was, "Sorry for my greasy hair, but I just didn't see it." We hosted a group of friends for dinner. I made a variety of kid-friendly foods, including my daughter's beloved chicken nuggets with a side of mac and cheese. The kiddos sat, ate 2 bites, and went back to playing as their food turned cold. My friend grabbed me by the arm and utters under her breath, "I really apologize. I feel bad they didn't eat anything, but I just didn't see it." I'm in line behind a mom at the grocery store. She's trying to wrangle 3 littles around 1 overstuffed cart as her baby screams and she fumbles for her wallet in her gigantic tote bag. "Oh, sorry you're stuck behind me," she mumbles, "but I just didn't see it." The car next to me in the mall parking lot has all their doors open, making it impossible for me to back out. I watch 2 parents simultaneously buckle their babes into their respective car seats. There are hats flying and shoes being thrown and coats coming off with 2 clearly exasperated parents. "Bet you wish you weren't next to us right now," the father bellows from the back seat. "But I just didn't see it." You see, motherhood has made me blind. Blind to the little things in life that just don't matter. I don't see the goldfish smashed in your carpet, or the fact that you've worn a hat for 4 days to hide the hair that hasn't been washed, or the text message you forgot to send me because you were just so tired that you went to bed early. I don't see the playdate you forgot about because your schedule is just so full right now. Your kids' pants that are 2 sizes too small because you haven't had the chance to get to the mall. Or that your gift wasn't wrapped for my kid's birthday party because throwing it in a paper bag was so much easier. Now listen, I'm certainly not always optimistic, and I do get irritated from time to time. I'm not perfect when it comes to believing the best about others, and I definitely have days where I'm less than positive. But if motherhood has taught me one thing, it's that I need so much grace. I need people to forgive me. I need people to excuse some of the areas where I fall short. I need people to love me when I hardly look like I'm making an effort to love them. It's out of this realization that I realize if I need so much, I need to be able to give the same. So, you know what I do see? I see a mom who chose to forgo her to-do list to snuggle her babies. I see a parent trying to create a fun family outing, even though they know craziness is bound to ensue. I see a woman who knew a shower wasn't going to be as valuable as an hour longer of sleep. I see a friend who desperately needs relationship more than she needs a clean house. I see people that are simply just trying to do the best they can in this crazy journey that we call parenting. Can we just collectively agree as moms to a few things? Can we agree to give one another the benefit of the doubt? Can we stop saying sorry for things just out of feeling obligated? Can we quit feeling like we need to justify all aspects of our parenting? Let's agree to not see where we and other parents fail. Instead, let's make the conscious choice to let each other off the hook every single day. Here's to changing the world, Mama, one extension of kindness at a time.
All right, Danielle, now tell us a little bit about what inspired your post.
Just kind of at the beginning of the year, I just became really aware of the fact that I felt like people were always apologizing. Like everywhere I would go, whether that was in conversations with my friends, my family, even people that I'd bump into at the grocery store, like I was just becoming increasingly aware of the fact that conversations were starting with people saying, "I'm sorry," or I found myself saying, "Gosh, I'm just so sorry that I did this," you know? And it really got me thinking, like, man, this is becoming something that is just a habit for people. And I couldn't quite pinpoint why that was, but it just started becoming more prevalent to me. And then kind of, you know, twofold with that, I realized how often I was apologizing to people for things that I literally had no control over. I was apologizing for my daughter's behavior. I was apologizing for the fact that I would show up at school drop-off looking like I just rolled out of bed. I was apologizing, you know, little things like that. And I thought, you know what? Like, I don't want to be starting my conversations with people talking about how sorry I am. I want to start my conversations with, you know, how can I build a relationship with this person versus focusing on these little things that don't even matter? And so that kind of goes into even more of the post, just this thought of when I saw things on the flip side, I thought about how often my friends are coming over saying, you know, "Gosh, I'm so sorry that my kids just look like a hot mess today. I'm so sorry that they're spilling their snacks all over your carpet. And I'm so sorry that they had an accident while they were playing downstairs," you know, things like that. And I thought, you know what? They're apologizing for that, but I don't even see that. Like, I don't even see these things that they're talking about. And of course, physically, I can see those things, right? But I just realized how once I became a mom, if there's anything that'll teach you about grace, just become a mom.
Yes.
Oh, like, honestly, if you want just a slap in the face, like, hey, you need to give grace and you need to be a person that gives people a benefit of the doubt, just add a child to your family and suddenly you'll realize how much grace you need.
Yes.
But I realized that motherhood changed me in the sense of it made me realize that I can't control half the things that happen. I can't control my child's behavior. Some days I can't keep my head on straight. Something is always having to give, whether that is my child's appearance has to give because I don't have time to clean that mess up today. Whether that is myself, like skipping a shower because I'm like, I need a minute to relax. If something's always having to give for me, and if I'm realizing that I can't control it, I need to be able to see that in my friends, in my family, in the people around me. I need to see that something has to give in their life too. And so I need to be a person that can extend that kind of grace to others the same way that I'm, you know, I need to give that grace to myself.
Girl, I'm just like you. I apologize all the time. I think if someone were to follow me around for a day and tell me the top 10 words that I said the most, sorry would probably be one of them.
Me too, for sure.
It is super fascinating to think about it, because as you were sharing, I just started thinking, like, why do people apologize? I'm no expert in the matter. I do feel like with motherhood comes this insecurity that just gets ingrained in us as moms. And so much of that is because prior to motherhood, for the most part, we can control everything. Like, we know when we're going to go somewhere. We can go to Target whenever we want. We can stay up really as long as we want. We can, there are so many factors that we control. And in motherhood, then this little baby is plopped into our arms. And all of a sudden, now somebody else is calling the shots in a lot of ways.
Totally.
And then what brews in us is this insecurity, you know, and we're trying to make wise decisions on raising this little human to make a difference in the world and for it to them to grow up to be somebody that does positive things, right, in their lives. And so anyway, I just find that, like, in that insecurity, in that spot of insecurity, oftentimes is where I apologize for things, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a hot mess, you know. Certainly everyone else is seeing it, and I need to address it before people just all snicker and think about it in their heads.
Totally.
And to your point, your post point, like, I just don't see it. Most of the time, other people do not see it. And so why are we even drawing attention to it?
Yes.
Oftentimes just a place for us to feel like we know what's going on, right? And we're just going to call it as it is. But it doesn't add value to a conversation, right? It more turns the conversation to attention to you and to something that really the focus shouldn't be on in the first place. Because really people are just wanting to be, you know, to have relationships with one another and to be vulnerable in some cases. But anyway, that's just kind of what I was processing as you were sharing. I was thinking, gosh, why do people say that? And where is that coming out of? I'm curious though, like, if you had to think of maybe the top reasons that you personally tend to apologize for, like, what would those be?
As I mentioned earlier, my daughter is, you know, you can say spirited, strong-willed, all the above. So I found myself, especially in her first, like, 2 years of life, when, you know, it's like the strong-willed on top of the toddler, and it's just like this double whammy of crazy. I found myself constantly being like, before I would even get to know someone, just being like, just so you know, she's kind of crazy, or she's kind of wild, or I'm really sorry that I'm the one bringing this tornado to the play date. Like, I really apologize, you know.
Right.
Lately, it's the fact of school's back in session, and I'm like, wait, today was like a special day? Like, oh, it was pajama day? Whoops, drop that ball. Sorry, I'm clearly like not the mom that's on top of it. Like, sorry, I have completely failed, you know. It's just funny for me because I'm hyper aware of it, because I think about, oh man, here I am apologizing again. I really need to work on that, you know.
I don't think any of us moms would say that one of our goals in life is to raise a kid that apologizes for everything.
Oh, right? Exactly. Like, exactly.
Nobody necessarily considers that a virtuous, like, thing at all. And totally. So the fact that that's what we are showing our kids, that's how they see us interacting with each other. And to your point, like, if you forget about the pajamas, you know, like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I certainly think that there's room for heartfelt apologies and humbling yourself in front of people. And so we're not talking about that. We're talking about more the things that we don't have nearly as much control over. And again, do we want to be setting that example for our kids? I don't want to be raising kids that constantly are apologizing for things that they don't need to apologize for.
Oh, for sure. And that was actually what contributed so much to the post, because the more I thought about it, I thought, man, I never want my daughter going up to someone saying, I'm sorry for exactly who I am. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'm sorry for the person that I am. It's like, you know what? Like, we should all just be able to go out and be like, you know what? This is who I am. And I need a whole lot of grace. So just give it to me, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, so I asked you, like, what one of your top apologies is. And I feel like it's probably only fair for me to share one of my top apologies. I find that I very frequently apologize for the state of my house, or like that it's not big enough, or it's not clean enough, or like I don't have XYZ like somebody else has. And I find that like when I invite people into my home, so often I am apologizing for all of those things when they just are thankful that I opened the door and invited them in.
Yes.
And absolutely. I feel like that, sets the tone, really. I only do harm in apologizing for those types of things, because truly, I really don't care what other people's homes look like. When they invite me over, I am just like, you are so great. I'm so thankful I'm over here. I don't even care if you have Cheerios in your carpet. I do too.
Yep. Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I just feel like there's so much relatability in your post, and so thankful that you are willing to share it with us. And so I do want to close our conversation with one question that I love to be able to ask people. And so it's going to make you go back in time in your head a little bit. But if you were to talk to the 22-year-old Danielle, you know, the first couple weeks of your new baby being in your arms, and you could tell yourself something, what would you tell her?
Oh man, I would tell her that she, oh, so many things. When I really stop to think about that, I'm like, oh man, someone needs to go give that girl a hug, because she she was stressed out. Oh, but you know, honestly, and it goes along with the topic that we've been talking about this entire time, but I would just tell her, you need to be vulnerable with the people that are around you, because it was not until I was vulnerable with my friends, with my parents, with my husband even, about the struggles that I was going through, which for me, that looked like nursing was a huge challenge for me. My daughter was not gaining enough weight. And so to me, that equaled that I was failing. I was struggling with that. Sleep, which I know we can all agree with. My daughter, she actually was an amazing sleeper, which I now realize. But at that time, when you have nothing to compare it to, anything seems like a huge, you know, loss in your life when all of a sudden you're like, I am running on how many hours of sleep? Yeah. And to me, I equated all of that with that I was failing. And until I was vulnerable with the people around me and I said, you know what? This is real. I'm really struggling with these things. It wasn't until I did that heaviness and that feeling of failure and that feeling of, you know, even a little bit of shame, that didn't lift until I was vulnerable with people. And just the beauty that came out of that, in the sense of when I was vulnerable and then my friends who were moms were vulnerable with me, I got to see a lot of, okay, like, you are struggling too. This isn't just me. And I think as a new mom, that's something everybody needs. Everybody as a new mom needs another mom to come alongside them and say, you are not alone. This is not, you are not weird. You are not doing something wrong. You are not crazy, which I think, right, we need a reminder about. You know, we all need that so much. And I don't think you can really get those authentic relationships unless you put yourself out there and be vulnerable, which is, you know, sometimes easier said than done. I have seen nothing but good come out of that when I am able to kind of let my walls down a little bit with the people around me.
Girl, preach. That is good stuff. I so appreciate you. I love your story. I certainly will be thinking of you and your family as you go through this adoption process. And so thank you for sharing with us. And thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
Danielle is one of thousands of moms who are contributors to City Moms Blog Network sites across the country. We now have nearly 80 sites with millions of moms reading posts, just like the one you heard from Danielle, every month. Connection is the heart behind City Moms Blog Network. Motherhood can be a lonely journey, but our local sites all aim to connect moms in their communities by sharing information online and hosting offline events. We'll be highlighting one of our newest sites soon, so stay tuned for that.
You found time for a podcast. Is The Next Leap a good book? We hope so. You've got to read this.
In this episode's You've Got to Read This, I'm thrilled to be able to share with you all one of my favorite reads of this year. It's a book called Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist. Shauna's been one of my longtime favorite authors over the past few years for a number of reasons. I love Shauna's authenticity. I love how she shares relatable stories in an easy-to-digest way for moms just like you and moms just like me. In this book, Present Over Perfect, Shauna talks about the everyday struggle that so many moms have when it comes to embracing the present and the moment and the day that we're living in, as opposed to striving for the next, striving for perfection, striving to find that work-life balance like Julie and I just spoke about. So Present Over Perfect hit home with me in so many different ways. I've actually read it a number of times already this year because of that, because of the ability that Shauna, the author, had to really draw me in to very simple stories that, but so profound. And I'll be honest, this book's really changed a lot of my life and the way that I go about doing my everyday. So I definitely suggest that you pick it up. It's available on Amazon and all major retailers. Again, the book's called Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist.
This episode of Just Add Sprinkles Celebrating Motherhood is brought to you by our friends at Freshwave. Let's be honest, everybody has bad smells in their life, from the bathroom to the kitchen, and let's not even talk about the diaper pails or the sports equipment, and how about the car? Not so nice smells are just a not so wonderful fact of life in motherhood, right? But here's another fact. You don't need harsh chemicals or heavily perfumed air fresheners to get rid of the stink. Not when you've got Freshwave. Freshwave natural odor removing products use simple, pure, and natural ingredients to get rid of odors. Freshwave products are available at freshwaveworks.com. And just for listening to this podcast, you're getting a special discount code to try them out. So stay tuned to the end of the podcast for more information.
Hi, I'm Michelle Fortin with City Moms Blog Network News. City Moms Blog Network is proud to welcome our first international site, Military Moms Blog. While serving our country domestically or abroad, military family life can be very rewarding, but it also carries unique challenges. Recognizing the need for a central source for military moms in any branch of service, whether active duty or dependent, City Moms Blog Network, together with military moms Christy Curtis and Julie Cohen, launched Military Moms Blog this summer. Military Moms Blog will address the many issues unique to military families by posting creative articles from a variety of military moms as contributors in one central source. Christy Curtis explains.
By coming together as fellow military moms, we feel Military Moms Blog is the best way we can reach and support one another. We want to help military moms settle in, find friends, encourage resiliency in their children, feel supported as a parent, and finally learn the meaning of all of those military acronyms.
Military Moms Blog is just one of many new sites recently joining the City Moms Blog Network sisterhood, including Gainesville, Florida, Lafayette, Louisiana, and Palm Beach, Florida. And we have more launching soon. If you are interested in joining our sisterhood and building authentic community with other moms in your area, please visit citymomsblog.com for more information.
So that's it for our very first episode of Just Add Sprinkles Celebrating Motherhood. Thank you so much for joining me as we chatted about the assumptions we experience as moms. A big thank you to Twin Cities Moms Blog contributor Danielle Kleiner for sharing with us today. If you're up for a good book, Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist is a great book about balance. A special welcome to our new sister sites. We're so glad to have you. We're also so grateful to our sponsor for this podcast, Fresh Wave. You're getting 20% off their products. So shop online at freshwaveworks.com and use the code SPRINKLESFW20 when you check out. So again, that's SPRINKLESFW20 for the 20% discount code on freshwaveworks.com. My hope as we close out this podcast is that you've been a little bit, even a lot, encouraged by Danielle's story, by the things that we chatted about today. We want you to leave each and every Just Add Sprinkles podcast with your shoulders lifted just a tiny bit more, your chin a little bit raised a little higher. We want to add value to your personal motherhood journey, and we sure hope we were able to do that today. Till next time, friends. Bye-bye.